countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Follow our new Weanling Watch series for expert analysis and commentary from thousands of cattle sales weekly.
Now, the EU Commissioner for the Environment, Oceans and Fisheries, Virginia Sinkevicius, was in Ireland this week and met with members of various fishing organisations when he visited Killybegs as part of his two-day stay. There continues to be many challenges facing fishing communities, with the most recent being the negative effects of Brexit.
The fishing industry is calling on the government to ask the EU for additional quota because of the problems fishermen are experiencing post-Brexit.
The sector suffered heavy financial losses as a result of the cut in fish quotas as part of the Brexit settlement, something which the Minister for Agriculture and the Marine, Charlie McConnellogue, has also recognised.
There's a disproportionate impact on Irish quotas compared to other member states' quotas in comparison. And that's something, therefore, that I've made very clear at European level needs to be addressed as part of the common fisheries policy. That undoubtedly is a very significant challenge, but it's one that's really important to the sector, and it's one that I will fight at every opportunity to try and do the very best I can in relation to the securing quota for our national sector.
On his visit to Ireland this week, the EU Commissioner spoke to Countrywide on a range of issues to do with fishing, farming and the environment. On the Brexit carve-up, does he think that Ireland has been unfairly and disproportionately treated?
From the very beginning, unfortunately, we knew that fishery sector is the one who has nothing to gain from Brexit. It's not going to be possible even to remain status quo, even we wished for. And I think landing zone, which we found was, let's say, the least damaging that was possible. We have, as I said, you know, Brexit Adjustment Reserve, we have our MFAF, and now we should be in line to help our fishermen and women in this situation to go ahead and to adjust to a new reality.
It's incredible to think Ireland has the best fishing grounds in Europe and we have to go out of business to allow the others to continue doing that business in our waters.
The common fisheries policy remains contentious among Irish fishers.
And people are saying, well, how come the fishermen are putting up with this? That's an amazing question.
In a documentary produced this week by Santander Media, the CEO of the Irish South and West Producers Organisation, Patrick Murphy, said that one in five Irish trawlers will be forced out of business if changes are not made to the common fisheries policy.
The common fishery policy, it started with historical catches. How much did you catch? We were at a disadvantage from the start, and that has carried through right up to the 21st century, and it has to be resolved. We're on the continental shelf, so we've the best place to come to for fish. So those countries came to our waters. And the distortion of this then is that when we joined the European Union, they decided, listen, do a track record, catch the fish now, lads, and we let it all up and we'll see who is what. Ireland didn't need to have a massive fleet because the fish were close to us, we had plenty of it. So we were at a disadvantage. These boats were coming from all over Europe. They were modern. They were way ahead of our boats because they had to come here. They had to travel over hundreds and hundreds of miles. We only had to go outside the harbour. The fish were so plentiful, and 10 or 12 miles out, we caught our fish and we could go in. And we didn't have the population to create the markets like they did. So we were at a huge disadvantage. And that's still following suit now because nothing's changed. The common fishery policy has basically stayed the same. And for our country, that means devastation.
So we are going to have a CFP review, full review, taking into account many, let's say, events which occurred, such as Brexit. We have to take into account what also does an impact on fish stocks, things like climate change, pollution, and so on. So I think, all that criticism can be also addressed, and we always listen in into a stakeholder's comments. We'll do a review, we'll do this exercise very carefully, looking at the shortcomings, and after review is done, we of course might be looking at certain changes in CFP, but I cannot promise that we will be reopening the CFP because I think there is still a lot to be done, and fishermen had to go and through a lot in order to comply with the rules, and I think it would be unfair towards them now to announce for around some kind of reform. So I take a very cautious way here. Only after the review is done and the certain gaps identified, then we can take additional action.
Ireland is committed to 5 gigawatts of offshore renewable energy by 2030, which is a key part of Ireland's decarbonisation plans. But there is concern in the fishing industry and among Irish environmentalists that the rush to renewables may be at the expense of the marine environment. What's the Commissioner's view on this?
The pressure on the sea is inevitably going to increase. We have renewable projects, we have marine protected areas, we have fishing community, we have shipping, tourism, and all that will have to be accommodated. So of course, member states has to do their exercise on marine spatial planning, ensuring that all that activities would be accommodated and wouldn't lead into decline of ecosystems of marine areas.
25% of agricultural land should be organically farmed under the targets of the EU's so-called farm-to-fork strategy.
Under the EU's Green Deal, ambitious targets have been set for agriculture to reduce pesticide and fertiliser use while increasing organic production. So what role do Irish farmers have in the future management and protection of the natural environment?
Taking a good care of environment and biodiversity, it's a win-win solution. It's also a win-win solution for farmers because, you know, they can only healthy soils can bring them a better profitability, better production. So I think we all have to be part of the solution. And I'm very thankful to farmers who very often act as a guardians of our lands. And of course, in this transition, we have to take them into account and on board, because Green Deal won't happen without having farmers, fishermen and women on board. This is the communities which we also have to accommodate. I think the first positive step is with CAP, with eco schemes, which gives farmers a chance to be rewarded for actually taking a better care of their lands. I'm very happy about the ongoing projects where, of course, there is evaluation of ecosystems and based on that evaluation, farmers get incentivized, because I think, you know, flat payments to everyone doesn't really do good and does not really motivate our farmers to have a maybe slightly different view.
Water quality is one of the key parts of the Commissioner's brief. Here, various EPA reports show that high nitrogen levels in some of our lakes and rivers are as a result of increased agricultural activity, driven by EU policy. As the government reviews the Nitrates Action Plan, is Ireland's nitrates derogation under threat?
Compliance with nitrate directive is very important, especially when it comes in the times when we have our biodiversity strategy, when we have our farm to fork strategies, where we have a clear decrease of pesticide used. And of course, when we're looking at not only protecting land and waters, but also restoring degraded ones. So with these programs, we cannot afford to have, you know, one step forward and two steps back approach. So therefore, I think that this is a matter which has to be treated as a priority.
EU Commissioner Virginia Sinkevicius is speaking there to Lorna Siggins for Countrywide this week. And Lorna's full interview with the Commissioner is available as a podcast after this programme.